Welcome back to the Mummy Dearest podcast, where we unwrap pop culture from the 90s, 2000s, and today. Before we get started, would you like to double your Mummy Dearest content? Sign up for our Patreon, where you can pay as little as $5 a month for up to 4 episodes. And now, here are your hosts, Zach Mellon and Sloan Steele.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
We have a little special guest today.
Who is
it? Rex, and hello.
Hello, Rexy.
Hi, Rexy.
So we watched The Mummy 2, The Mummy Returns, and Rex
had to say The Mummy 2.
Yeah.
The Mummy Returns. And
it's just called The Mummy Returns.
He's right. You guys are both right. And Rex has a few thoughts, right?
Yep.
What did you think about The Mummy?
It was really good, except for in the end of the movie, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was your favorite part?
Okay. I'm going to have to think about this because it was all pretty good.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty good.
I think every single fighting scene, that's one of my favorite parts.
What did you think about, like, the girls fighting?
It was good.
That was, like, really good. Did you know that they didn't use any stunt doubles for those scenes?
I know.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't.
That was them fighting?
They trained for 5 months.
Rachel is a great fighter. I mean, so is Patricia, but...
Anaxunamun.
Anaxunamun. Do you think, Rexy, that it was appropriate movie for a 7-year-old child?
Too appropriate?
It was like it was too childlike. It was...
What do you think I should let you watch?
Let me think. I think you should let me watch The Exorcist Believer.
I don't even know how he knows about it, but...
You know.
Mom, Blame Prime.
Blame Prime. I blame Amazon Prime for most things, Rexy.
Fair enough.
Rex, what was the worst part of the movie?
I mean, I think we all can agree on this. The Scorpion King. The Scorpion King when he's a scorpion. The animation is what you call... I'm going to show you it right now.
It's bad. It's...
He's off camera.
It's trash.
It's trash. He's throwing it out the door.
You guys, I know you can't see him right now, but Rex looks very cute right now. He's like a very, like, he looks very angelic.
Come here, cute little boy.
He doesn't look like 8 feet tall.
He is, though.
I know, but he's
a real tall guy. Okay, Rexy. Come on, come sit down and answer the rest of our questions, then you can be free. Oh, those were my headphones.
I don't need them.
Okay, perfect. Yeah,
think, like, what would you do if your dad had to rescue you from wearing the bracelet of Anubis?
I would probably just say, rescue me.
Yeah.
And, like, do you think that your dad would be able to rescue you the way that Rick rescued his child?
I mean, I think that Rick trained some more than my dad right now, so I
maybe
would
need to get... Yeah, maybe we need to get your dad in a little bit more training.
Put him in Taekwondo right now.
I think that's a good idea.
Put him in Rexquando.
No.
Rex, would you be surprised if you found out that I could, like, magically fight ancient women and I was, like, a trained Psy user? Would you be surprised, or would you be like, yeah, my mom could do that?
I'd be like, yeah, my mom can do that.
He's like, duh.
Do you think I would win in a fight against, like, another mom?
No?
No. What if it was, like, a little mom?
Maybe.
Okay.
Rex, do you think that in your school, maybe you could get together, like, a knife fighting day? You don't think they'd let you do that? I think they'd let you do that. I think it seems like that's on brand for them.
Zach has a lot of questions about your school. Like, why don't you ever have school?
Fair enough. I don't know.
Do you like your school? Do they teach?
No, why wouldn't he? I mean,
they teach you there?
Yes, they
teach you good stuff.
I literally learn math and literacy. I learn literacy 3 to 2 times a day, and math like every day.
And can you tell us a little Mandarin? Can you say something in Mandarin for us?
Can you say Book of the Dead in Mandarin?
Ooh-ha. Where's my phone?
Wow.
Can you say goodbye in Chinese?
chicken.
Oh, okay. So is there anything else? Is there anything else you want to say about The Mummy Returns before you go downstairs to return to your daddy? Okay, tell us your... Did you think that Rick and Evelyn, the two main characters in the movie, do you think that they have a good love story? Do you mind watching them kiss? Or
yeah, like, did you think...
I definitely mind watching them kiss. No, I mind watching anyone kiss.
It's gross. Yeah, no, it's gross.
Do you think that you would be interested when you grow up in being an Egyptologist or an adventurer?
I mean, honestly, I'll tell the truth. I kind of want to be an engineer.
You want to be an engineer?
Yep.
Okay.
That's better.
I mean, we're doing 3D printing in school, so like...
3D printing?
Yeah.
What are you guys printing first?
Raptor vocal chambers?
What?
Don't worry, we'll watch that movie soon. Are we going to go see Twisters 2?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Also called Twisters, not just like Twisters 2.
Okay, again, I'm sorry. I keep adding 2 to the end of these movie titles.
I know. You're like such a mom.
I'm such a mom. Anything else to say? Any other thoughts about The Mummy?
I mean, my thoughts is it is a really good movie.
It is a really good movie. Did you like the first one or the second one better?
That's hard. I'd say equally.
Yeah, okay. That's a really good answer.
When you watch Twisters 2, you should do a play podcast, which we are.
Oh, we will, baby.
Yeah, are you going to come back for Twisters? Okay, great. All right.
I mean, just call me up and I'll be there.
Okay. Okay, well, that was a brief interview with Rex Steele.
Yeah.
And
imagine if that was his real name.
Rex Steele.
It's me, Rex Steele.
He actually might change it to that someday.
I love when people think that Steele is my real name. I guess it's not like that uncommon of a name, but I'm like, no, my parents didn't name me Sloan Steele.
People think that that is your real last name, and I think you're actually probably going to disappoint a lot of people right now.
I'm really sorry, everybody. That is a name that I had to come up with.
It's a stage name.
It's a stage name. When I worked at the porn company behind the scenes, I had to come up with a fake last name. And so I literally just like looked up and saw like galvanized beams because it was obviously an open concept workspace. And I was like, Steel. Could have been like Sloan desktop PC, but. I went with Sloan Steele. Anyway, I was just telling Zach that I caught a whiff of my fingers, which stink because this morning I had a piece of sourdough bread with some salted Kerrygold butter, obviously. And then on top of that, I had some sliced radishes fresh from the garden.
You guys, this is like a very early morning breakfast that she's having.
Yeah, so it's sliced radishes.
It's like a impoverished...
Just wait.
Eastern European.
Like literally. Okay, so it was a slice of bread, butter, sliced radishes, sliced carrots, parsley, like flat leaf Italian parsley, cracked black pepper, some salt, and a bunch of just raw red onion.
Why?
I don't know. I like love that. Is that weird? I eat like the most disgusting combinations of things.
Like, you know what, though? It's like you don't want your family to approach you, I think. Mm-hmm.
I really like to just create like a wall of stink.
It's just funny because like I have like fond memories. I mean, we're all going to have fond memories of our moms no matter what they do. But it's just funny because like I have fond memories of my mom like waking up and having like a little cup of coffee with like cute little breakfasts.
Not my son.
He's going to have fond memories of, like, literally... like
the onion woman.
Like a weird, like, famine where all there's left is root vegetables and...
Like, literally, guys, all I eat is root vegetables. I love them. Right. Like, root vegetables and a crust of bread.
Okay, well, I'm happy for you. I have 17 pages of notes that we have to get through. So let's rock and roll.
Let's go. Like a dad at the end of a meal at Chili's. Let's rock and roll.
Let's boogie. You guys, really quick. I saw Monkey Man this weekend. It was really good. And I urge you to go see it. Dev Patel wrote and directed it.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. And it's like very good.
I trust Dev Patel with my life.
You know, I do too, and now I do even more. He's like a really good writer and director. Anyway.
So excited to see that. Thank you for that recommendation.
We are unwrapping The Mummy Returns, which was released May 4th, 2001. So the anniversary is coming up.
Wow.
Really soon. Now, before we get into anything, I just want to, I posted a question box on our page for this. And I'm going to wait until the end to read the rest of them. But I do just want to say one thing. Glowbells wrote in and said, do you guys love this movie because they look like you two?
That's...
So this is the picture I used.
Honestly, like, I kind of see it.
So, Glowbells, you are...
Number one.
I don't know your gender, so you're a royalty icon legend.
Pick out anything you want from the store, and I'll tell you I'm going to send it to you, and then I will forget, but pick something out, and it's yours.
The thought is there.
It's the thought that counts, and I'm sorry that you won't receive your merchandise.
And it's not you guys, like, someone who is, like, I mean, is kind of important, like, to the world of something that we care about a lot, has asked us for merch to promote, like, to famous people, and we just haven't done anything about it.
Is that the person that wanted, like, a lot of stuff?
Yeah.
That's kind of a big ask.
I know. Okay. All right, we'll talk about it later.
Why?
So the budget was $98 million.
Okay.
And the worldwide gross was $443 million.
Thank God.
Now, I found this gobsmacking, because I know that they did make another movie. It's just that, like, if this movie did so well and the first movie did so well, and then they, like, fucked up the third one, where's the fourth? Or where's, like, the retconned third? Do you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
Can we retcon the last one? Someone tweeted a really good idea where 20 years from The Mummy Returns is now, right? So the characters have, like, the actors have all aged 20 years. And if they did it 20 years in the future, it would be the Egyptian Revolution.
Oh my God.
Which I think is like a really cool backdrop of a third, of like another mummy film.
Bembridge Scholars, Egyptian Revolution, Rick Mummies.
Fighting on the Right Side of History.
I think that would be a beautiful, beautiful thing. We should probably put pen to paper and get this written down.
I just think that would be like a really good idea. It's like,
I mean, I'm very surprised that they didn't capitalize on Brendan's like whirlwind success of the last few years. There's still plenty of space and time for that to happen. I feel like they're trying to convince Rachel.
I bet you Brendan would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I think Rachel's like, you really got to give me some good stuff here because this is tough.
I feel like at this
Marvel.
Point,
she did a Marvel film.
That's what I'm saying. Like, enough time has passed, and it's like, Rachel, you've done Marvel. Like, you, she was very like just dipped her toe in the Marvel waters, and I think maybe she doesn't want to come back in a full force action film. But it's like, listen, baby, like, you're married to James Bond. Like, the people want, like, you've done enough artistic stuff where you can now make a big money picture that actually like people would love to see you in. Like, this is not a cash grab.
Right. It would be like really nice of her to do. And I think
it would be so nice. Think,
like, you could probably have some younger people be the hero, like the action packed heroes, and you could probably just
Sydney Sweeney there with her boobs out and some kind of Egyptian freedom fighter. That's
probably gonna annoy you and like a lot of people. I feel like Austin Butler could be a good addition.
Alex.
I do think that he could be a good addition to this.
He would be a good Alex. You're actually really right.
I'm really right. I know. And he I don't does like
have
it.
He does have the charm and swagger of Rick and Evie's kid grown up.
And the popularity and the gumption.
He's got the popularity, the gumption. He's got the swagger. I do think you're right, Zach. When you're right, you're right.
Thank you. So
they're either going to give it to him or they're going to give it to, like, what's that? The Skarsgård. Who?
Tom Holland.
They would give it to Tom Holland and he'd just be like flipping around coffins and things.
With like zero body hair and like 18,000 pounds of muscle, and it would just be like stupid. Anyway,
it's like too much.
As we all know, Stephen Sommers directed this film along with The Mummy, Van Helsing, and most recently G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra, which
so we love him.
Starred Arnold Vosloo and a cameo from Brendan Fraser.
My mom, near the end of this film, remarked that Billy Zane looked different. It was like 2 hours and I was like, so you just so you know, that's not Billy Zane. She's like, I kept thinking it didn't look like Billy Zane. It's like, well, it's because it's not. It's not a Billy Zane.
All right. Now, the composer is, of course, near and dear Alan Silvestri, who we have a hat for in our www.mummydearestpodcast.com store.
I'm so, still waiting to hear back from his management team because I emailed them to send a hat, but nothing, just crickets.
All right, well, go buy one yourselves, everybody. But he did films like The Parent Trap, Father of the Bride, The Bodyguard, Fern Gully, Practical Magic, and like 9 million more films that will make you cry if you listen to one note of.
You know him, you love him.
Brendan was 33.
That is hard to hear, Papa.
This, we'll talk about it. Rachel was 31.
Okay.
John Hannah was 39.
That seems more likely.
Arnold Vosloo was 39.
That's tough. Real tough.
Oded Fehr was 31.
I'm so sorry. What did you just say?
You heard me. Patricia Velasquez was 30.
This is getting upsetting.
Well, we haven't heard anything yet. The Rock was 29.
Look! Oh.
And bear with me on this one. Adewale Akinnuye Agbaje.
Mm-hmm.
Agbaje was 34.
That's
Lak Na.
Yeah, that's also really tough to hear.
That's a man.
That was a grown up man.
That's a man.
That was like a full ass man.
A whole man. Now, I think we've said this on multiple podcasts 80 times, but like, you are not going to find me people in their early 30s to give me this heart. To give me this love, this attention, this chemistry.
There's like literally no
chance. You know what? I'm going to take that back. Because.
Oh boy.
I will say, like, we do have a little up and coming, like, gang of people that I think are good.
Who?
It's like the Dune kids.
Okay, yeah. Like, I'll give it to, like, Florence. I'll give it to like Flo.
Florence and Zendaya. And it's like the challengers. It's like Zendaya with, you know what I mean? It's like we do have a group. I think there are a group of youngins that could, like, if Hollywood did the right thing, we could have some things like this.
I do hear what you're saying. And I still think Florence is late. And
I would love Zendaya to be the love interest, like an Egyptian love interest of Austin Butler in the next installment of The Mummy.
I feel like you're just kind of taking her from Dune and you're just placing her in like one sand situation into another.
I just think she'd be really good. She could be like the love child of Anaxunamun and Imhotep.
Oh, wait a second. You really are. You're onto something.
We always are. You and I, if anything else, are always going to have brilliant, genius ideas that will never come to fruition.
Anaxunamun, when she runs from the temple, weeks later, she discovers she's pregnant. And she has to bring him back from the dead because of her daughter. And her daughter...
Like, I'm not doing this alone.
She's like, I'm not going to be a single parent. Like, I'm not.
You've got to raise her dad from the dead. I'm not doing this again.
Oh my God, raising dad? The Mummy for raising dad.
The Book of the Dad.
The Book of the Dad. Don't read from the Book of the Dad.
You guys. Okay.
Wow.
This film, and obviously, but like this film really is a true bisexual awakening, and it will slap me across the face every time I watch it.
Yeah, it's like really like it's got something that is like
sexy.
it just gets you going. And like the first time we rewatched this, we were like making fun of Rachel and like her Chico's outfit. And this time, because I'm more into my own Chico's era, I was like, she looks good as hell.
Well, I rebranded it as like an Eileen Fisher Free People mashup.
It is like for someone my age that like can't fit into Free Halogen. People. Yeah, it is very Halogen, Nordstrom Halogen coated, where it's like, what brand is this? And it's like not any brand you've ever heard of.
Is that linen?
No, it's like a new material that was like created in a factory.
It's recycled linen. It's like,
it's made from water bottles and it's really scratchy. And if you put it in the dryer one time, you never see it again.
No, it's true. It melts a little bit.
Disintegrates. It's just gone. All that's left is a tag that you can't decipher the symbols upon. Much like hieroglyphics, laundry hieroglyphic. Wait, let me say that again. Laundry hieroglyphics.
Literally, like, that's a really funny, like, TikTok where it's the scene where they're, like, yelling, what does this mean? And a mom...
Tumble dry low!
Yeah, like, that's...
Lay flat to dry!
Hand wash only!
Paul's always like, did you wash this sweater? And he'll, like, lift up, like, something that's now, like, doll size. I'm like, I don't think so. I don't think that got in
the other dryer. Day, I bought new hand towels and decided to throw them in with clothes. Sorry. All of my clothes just have like pills of green all over them. I don't know what I was thinking.
You're a crazy little girl. You can't do that.
I know, but I'm a boy. So it's like I have to just wash things together.
One time Paul put my like all of my athletic clothes in with a load of towels and they literally never recovered. Never recovered.
Oh, I know. Now I do towels separately, but it's just...
It's just so annoying when you have to like save up like your stinky mildew towel laundry. It's like, this is just a whole situation.
Bad.
Okay. Back to the mummy.
Okay. So this is the second Rock movie that we've watched in like 2 weeks, which I think is a little nerve wracking. I think it's scary.
Is that?
And actually it's the third like big event with the Rock that you've watched.
I was about to say,
you're a big Rock head.
I'm a rocker. Okay, I'm a rocker chick.
You're a rock bed, is what they call you.
I am a rock bed. I have watched more Rock stuff. It's like, it's just, I can't escape the Rock.
We open this film in, you know, a temple, an ancient temple. We see Rick coming through the blue-lit cobwebs, his eyes forefront, his pillow-soft lips coming through.
So wet.
His beautifully parted hair hanging in his face.
Ugh, love that butt cut.
His soft bronzed skin.
What is that? Is that like a Jergen self-tanner? Like, what is that color?
That is something. That man is moisturized. That man is...
He has like Sabrina Carpenter's tan, which is... I don't even know how you achieve it. He really does.
It looks like matte. It's like he's got like matte skin.
He just... The two of them, or I guess actually everybody, even like Arnold Vinslu, what's his name?
Arnold Vosloo.
Yes. Even though he's not like my total cup of tea, he looks great on camera. Like he just looks good on a camera.
That's why I'm saying like every scene in this film, I'm like, that person's hot. That person's hot. It's like every scene.
Even if they're like an ugly, like weird character, like the guys that just get like killed in the train, it's like they still
You'd throw him a little.
I definitely throw him a little something. Are you kidding me? I would love to be manhandled by that.
Short little hairy guy, you'd throw him a little something.
Oh my God, I'd love to just sit on
when his goes, lap. When he goes, what does he yell? Knock, knock.
Knock, knock.
Anybody home?
Knock, knock. Anybody here?
We'll get to it, but like when Lock Nah throws that knife at our death and it goes right next to I was like
there were so many gasps in this movie, and every time I was watching this with my whole family, and every time Rachel would go into one of her like fits, I would say Zach loves this is Zach's favorite thing.
It's literally like, I don't know where it is. Oh, Evie's past life transitions, I wrote.
No, like every time she's like, huh. It's so good. Okay, sorry.
That feeling is when you rub your foot against... It's when you have bare feet and you slide your foot on a wooden deck floor, and your body kind of like... Do you know what I'm talking about? Is that just me?
I'm trying to, like, is it, like, a kind of polished deck?
It's just, like, it's almost like you're risking getting a splinter.
But it's, like, worth it?
But it's worth it. It's like when you Q-tip your ear and you have a little orgasm by accident.
Oh my God, that there's, if I can sneeze or use a Q-tip, I'm just like, oh mama.
Yeah, it's like when you have a butt itch and you like, yeah.
What about when you pick out like the biggest, hardest booger that like,
it's attached to a worm.
It's attached to a worm that's burrowed inside your brain and you pick it out and you can breathe for the first time and you're just like, what is this? You like
feel it coming from the back of your eye socket.
It's so good. Oh,
yeah, those are all good things that are just really orgasmic. So then we get the Chico's outfit, which we've rebranded to a Nordstrom POV outfit.
Mm-hmm. It's the off-the-shoulderness of it.
She's got a linen blouse. She's got a vest, a duster vest. Oh, no, that's later. I'm sorry. She's got a tank top with a cardigan.
She has a couple of loose, open cardigans that, like, don't have any buttons and just kind of drape on you, which we're all guilty of purchasing, I think, from Anthropologie at one point or another. But she does wear a lot of Lisa Rinna dusters during this
movie. She's a big duster girly. So
crazy outfits.
Then we like immediately start with the past life clues where she's like, I don't know, but I feel like I've been here before.
They get to this temple because she's had dreams about it. And her really supportive husband is like, yeah, I guess we can like go to this temple.
We'll go to Egypt.
We'll bring our kid. Whatever you want.
That's fine. Feel like they do this a lot. It seems like they must, if we could see them in the past decade, they do this a lot. They're here and there.
Their baby's like on the top of an alligator.
It's fine. They're just getting some little treasures to put in their British mansion.
Yep.
In these moments, I thought to myself, movies can be really bad if they have heart.
Yes, I agree with you. We've said this before, like, as long as everybody on set is there to give it their all, even the worst movie can become something more elevated.
Because I have a hard time saying this movie is bad because of how much I enjoy watching it. Mm-hmm. I think, like, it is technically bad, I think.
I would agree that we could have just had The Mummy and, like, left it alone and had it be what it is. I don't think The Mummy 2 corrupts the goodness of Mummy 1 at all. I think they're like, actually, you could watch them as standalone films, to be honest. But it's not good, but I'm glad that, like, the gang was back together.
I agree, and, like, I think it's very fun.
It's super fun. It's a great watch. It doesn't have the same, like, grand sweepingness of The Mummy. Like, The Mummy 1, to me, feels like the Wildest Dreams Taylor Swift music video, where it's, like, so grand and cinematic.
It's balmy. It's, like, it's giving us beautiful desert winds. It's giving us...
It's, like, very out of Africa, English patient. Like, it has that look. But then it's an action
because
film.
It's the 90s. Because in the 90s, we had almost, like, a grainy, beautiful look. Whereas... Yeah. Something happened in the 2000s where we thought that everything needed to be cool, techie,
so zonky,
zany, sharp. And, like, I noticed something in what, you know, I love, like, a universal logo when we're watching a movie. Mm-hmm. But I noticed at the bottom of this one, it said www.universalstudios.com. And it's like,
I was disgusted.
But, like, around this time in 2001, like, is the exact time we were, like, so obsessed with the web.
We were like, what's on the web? Let's get on the
web. It was just, like, we were going to websites and we were, like, clicking on things. And there would be, like, you'd click, like, photo gallery. And there would be, like, 10 photos from the movie. And, like, it's just, like.
Brendan even had his own website back then, which was, like, his own, like, street photography. It was just, like, a crazy time.
Really crazy web time, you guys. And I just think I'm happy. I'm really happy it's over. Like, that gives me major Murphy Browns.
Thinking about going on the web is one of the hardest things to think about. Like, going to a website. To have to go to a website is really upsetting.
I don't think, like, people who are 10 years younger than us
have any idea what we're talking about.
Or, like, don't get that. Like,
you don't understand. There used to like not be websites for things. Like you would have to make a website for this movie. They probably had to pay a team like $100,000 to make it.
And there weren't like, this wasn't like an, you couldn't go like on an app. Like this was just like, you literally had to log on to the web. And then click like www.themummyreturns.com.
It's just like crazy to me. Like when you would have like your T9 phone and like your Nokia and you'd accidentally click like web browser, which like, and you'd have to like literally throw your phone like into traffic.
Oh, because cool. Yeah.
Like, you'd have to be like, stop, cease working. Because
the second it connects to the internet, your mom is like now paying $900 a minute.
I don't understand even like what you would be able to look up on the web browser. What would even the goal be there?
That was crazy. That was a crazy time. You had to destroy your phone. Like it was like you had to, you couldn't even think. You had to like, if you clicked on the web, you'd immediately destroy your phone.
Like imagine there's like a thing on your phone that if you use it or touch it, like you're like in Mission Impossible and your phone will explode. Like it was like having a bomb.
The first time I remember like normally using the web was with my BlackBerry Curve.
Wow. Do you remember the first website you went to? Lemonparty.org.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, go look it up right now.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. You know what it is. It was like when you would Rickroll people with lemonparty.org, it would send them to a picture of all of these like 90-year-old men like having an orgy.
Oh, that does kind of sound familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. Just really not right. Not right. Okay.
What? No. These three henchmen.
Yeah.
Who are sent to find the O'Connells. Mm-hmm. No, they're sent to find the bracelet of Anubis, but the O'Connells have gotten it first.
Yeah.
They're like ready and okay to kill a child.
They were like ready and raring. They were like
they're not this child. Yeah, like they're not going to be like upset. Like they're not going to hesitate to just murder a 10-year-old.
There's a lot of people out there, I think, especially during this time, that would just murder a kid.
It was the 30s.
I think you could just kind of do it. And it was like, it
wasn't like the 1430s.
I don't know. I still feel like kids were very much like, there's probably another one.
I do think about this a lot where when I'm watching movies, like anything before like the 50s, I just feel like you could truly do like anything you wanted.
Whatever you wanted. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
You didn't have to answer to anybody.
That's what it feels like when you're watching these things.
You're just like, okay.
I guess who's gonna, like prove it? You have no DNA. You cannot test DNA. Uh-huh. You have no video evidence. There's no picture. Like you literally have nothing.
I would have. I mean, we've talked about this before. The amount of like crimes I would be committing would be outrageous.
Okay. Well, I also put. I love when they go back. Oh well, we go back to like digging up Imhotep. Mm-hmm. We're at like that. The dig site.
I forgot about like what he was like entombed in. Like, what was that? Like crystallized snot?
Well, do you remember at the end of The Mummy when he's like, he's sinking in and he says, death is only the beginning?
Yeah.
It's like black, like tar. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess he just sort of like it turned into like resin. It's yeah, like amber.
That's what I'm assuming. But
if I was digging there and I found that, I wouldn't have thought there was like an ancient mummy in there. I would have just been like, this is like some weird rock. I don't think it would have like struck me as like.
No, I mean, they were looking for him.
Okay. I guess. Yeah. Then I guess if I found something that was a like human sized, but it was just like a weird shape.
Well, I think they knew where to dig. I think they were digging and they knew where to dig. They were in Hamunaptra and like they knew what to do.
And I know I always ask questions like this, but who funded that? Anaxunamun?
Mila.
Okay.
Her name's Mila. So
it's so confusing.
It always was for me. Now I don't think it is anymore. But Mila, I think I had to look it up though.
Okay.
Mila is the reincarnated body of Anaxunamun.
Okay.
And she has found this out, I guess, like she's realized this and now she wants to like, and this is a decade later, so it's not like this just happened.
Mm-hmm.
And she wants to become Anaxunamun and rule and take over the world with her lover,
which is like, why?
Well, if you could like take over the world, I think like a lot of people would want to do that.
Would okay if today someone was like, you could be God right now, like Bruce Almighty style.
If I could tell them, if they could say to me, like, you can let everything go to shit and you can have like the best life, I'd be like, okay.
So you're just like Jeff Bezos.
I think it's more like Elon Musk.
Okay. So you just want to be like an evil billionaire.
I don't want to be, but if someone said like, it's the only way for you to be happy.
Okay.
Then I'd be like, okay.
All right.
Okay. So Mila and Lok Na are like a really hot power couple. And like, I really like they fuck. I know they fuck. And I know that Lok Na is really jealous when she becomes like an Oxidu Moon.
Yeah.
Because I know that they fuck.
I want to walk into a room dressed like an Oxidu, sorry, dressed like Mila with her feather outfit and the birdcage veil. And
I have a whole
and a snake.
No, I don't want people to think that. We need to like go back to that because that's like really important. And I don't think we've ever spoken. I don't think we've ever spoken about it.
It's the hottest anyone's ever looked to my eyes.
So they come back in their beautiful travel outfits. Mm-hmm. Evie has on like an Avec La Fille wool lightweight jacket. And
it's, again, she's got like it's like a duster situation. Is it belted?
It's not belted. It's like flowy. It's okay. Like T-length.
Okay.
And then she's got on a Diane von Furstenberg wrap dress with gold chains linked through the sleeves.
Yes. And then a character heel.
And then
Pizio.
Yeah. She has like a 1930s Mary Jane
Capizio dance heel, like a 2.5 inch
with a gorgeous. And perfect. Rick looks amazing. He's got on like it's not a fedora technically. I don't know the name of it, but it's like a hat. It's a man's hat.
It's a hat that like your grandpa would wear if he was like really fucking cool.
Not your creepy uncle, your cool grandpa.
A cool grandpa who like may or may not have been in a war, but like was just like a secretary in like an office during like a war.
He had a long-term friendship with his roommate Phil.
Exactly. And like they're all snappy dressers.
Snappy
dressers. Like it's a snappy dresser's. It's a snappy dresser's hat, just like.
Well, he's wearing like a beautiful jacket with like a silk scarf.
Oh, God.
He just looks incredible in this scene.
He looks so good. He looks good in every scene.
He does. And Alex is carrying the bracelet of Anubis in the trunk and he says, "God damn." This thing weighs a goddamn ton. And then she says, "Language." And he goes, "Rather weighty, isn't it?"
Alex in this movie is such a good little actor.
He's
good.
Really good. And as you know, he is our enemy.
I know.
I didn't reach out to him again. To be honest with you, I thought like a couple weeks ago, I was like, I have nothing to lose. I'm going to reach out to him again. And I just totally forgot. But for those of you who haven't been listening to our podcast, I was communicating with the actor who plays Alex for a little bit. And then I think he agreed to come on our podcast, but then I think he might have listened to it.
Yeah.
And then he just stopped.
Yeah.
Responding.
We had reached out when we were only like a few episodes in though. So maybe now.
We'll see. So, so now we get this home invasion scene where everyone's kind of descending on the house. And they're coming in hot. They're coming in different places. They're spreading out. And Mila enters the bathroom of Rick. But Jonathan's there. Mila comes in with an Egyptian asp snake with feathers across her shoulder. She's got like a satin cocktail dress on.
It's skin tight in all the right places.
A veil.
Stick straight. Biosilk flat ironed hair. I mean,
she made this. She was like, "You guys, I've got a home invasion at around 7 p.m. tonight."
But she had cocktails.
She's like, "I'm gonna be right after that, though. I do have to go to the ambassador's birthday dinner."
She looked like it, like what Luann de Lesseps wishes she looked like doing her cabaret.
Or like the 1920s dinner at Bluestone Manor.
Like, truly, this outfit was so sick and beautiful. And like, it looks to me like she's wearing...
found a picture of it. I was like, I can't go another day.
I know. I don't know why this was the first time I was also like, wait a second. Like, why was I not paying attention to like this woman's fashions? No, like that is Zach. I want people to think I want to have that essence.
I just, it's like such a, she has sheer sleeves underneath her beaded cocktail dress. Actually, now looking deeper into it, it's a two-piece. It's separate. Skirt. She's got a satin skirt with a beaded top.
I'm looking up Anaksuna Moon.
And it's actually like a feather boa.
It's the most beautiful outfit you've ever seen in your entire life, you guys. Like, you don't even understand. I'm looking at the exact picture of Mila Nai. Wow. God, she's so hot.
Really incredible.
Wow, she's so beautiful. You know, it's crazy to me that this movie has two beautiful women at like opposite ends of the beauty spectrum. You have the very like doe-eyed, like almost like virginal, sweet, you know, kind of round face Rachel. And then you have the very like femme fatale, like Anaksuna Moon.
Right. We get the girl next door with like the badass boss.
And we also get like the badass tough guy, not the mummy, not Imhotep, but we get like the badass tough guy in, what's his name? Why do I always forget his name?
Lakna or Ardeth Bay?
In Ardeth Bay. And God, Ardeth is so hot. Like, this movie wasn't scared of just like being like, everyone's hot. Everybody.
No, like the, like Stephen Sommers was like, there's room for all of this hot.
Like, they kind of gave us that in Euphoria, I feel like. They were like, we're going to give you every kind of hot. And, like, everybody's going to sizzle.
You even bringing up Euphoria, though, like, scares me.
I understand that.
Anyway, I don't want to get into Euphoria. I'm just saying that to show up to a shakedown in that outfit.
Oh, that's to show up to a shakedown with a poisonous steak in, like, the classiest outfit you have, like, it just screams, like, class.
Meanwhile, downstairs, we get the most hunk of a man with another sick outfit, to be honest with you. Lock Nah's, like, outfit. And
I don't even understand this outfit, and I like
it. After the fight when he, like, basically, like, shows Ardeth Bay, like, who's boss right now. Oof. He looks back at those people. He flings the knife at Ardeth. I gasp. And then he turns around and swoops that cape.
Oh, baby.
Like the man he is.
The man you are. He just, that man knows how to wear what is essentially just, it's just pieces of fabric draped around him in various ways. Body. And he knows what to do. He knows how to wear it.
The way Rick grabs that knife when that man throws the knife in the bathroom, when the man goes to throw, like, spin the dagger at him, and Rick, like, grabs it and just chucks it back at. I honestly, that is, like, really sad. I mean, the amount of, like, stunt work that is sexual in this film.
Well, it's because Rick's got on those leather cuffs the whole time.
Evelyn doing that cartwheel to kick the guy in the face.
No, that was... Evelyn's fighting was... I've never found her to be more beautiful than in those moments.
There's a little something new.
I just, like, couldn't, like, I really, I'm glad that you asked Rex, like, about that scene, because I was, like, watching him, like, when he was watching the scene where Anaksuna Moon and Rachel fight at the same time, and I was, like, trying to, like, peek at him, and he was just, like, staring very wide-eyed at the screen, like,
whoa. Because I don't think enough people give those two scenes credit. I think that those two scenes are, and now knowing that they trained for 5 months just to do those things and didn't use any stunt people, like, so good.
Think about how close of friends you'd have to be with each other to do that scene.
Please. I'm literally, like, all I want to know is if, like, they still get drinks every now and then.
They have to, right?
I don't know. I just hope so much.
I mean, the entire cast of The Princess Bride still hangs out, so that gives me hope.
Okay. I do need is a backstory, a prequel about Lok Nah and Ardeth Bay, because we are led to believe that they've known each other for a long time and they have like a mutual respect and hatred.
I feel like it's sort of like a 300 situation where, like, as young boys, they were forced out into like the desert to fight each other and also survive.
And became like friends but enemies.
Yeah. Kind of like how we are.
Or lover. I mean,
again, kind of
in
like
in my head, I think maybe there was a lover situation and it ended badly.
I would love to see just a full on
those two men.
Those two men, like in an embrace. Wow. If there's any way we could get Pedro into the next Mummy.
Sloan. Of course, baby.
Okay.
Do you think he's willing to play Egyptian?
I think he could do it. I think he has what it takes. He's got that nose.
You know what he could be? Roman. I mean, he could also be in relation to Patricia Velasquez.
Oh, like
some way.
Brother?
A brother? Okay. Did Anaxunamun, I mean, yeah, maybe he could be the brother-in-law of the future queen or pharaohess.
Is it?
I don't know.
I think it's a
pharaohess.
Well, she would. Imhotep was just a priest, right?
Yeah, but she was gonna marry the pharaoh.
That's true.
Is it just the pharaoh's wife?
I think it's also a pharaoh. What is the pharaoh? Let's look it up. What's the pharaoh's
Pharah?
Wife? Great royal wife.
Wow.
Great royal wife.
Okay. Well, and then we get Evelyn kidnapped. She gets kidnapped and they've got to go, you know, band together to save her. Now, Sloane, I have a question for you.
Yes, I do want to get kidnapped and have a rag held over my mouth.
Okay. My next question is, if I were to say I'm a stranger traveling from the East seeking that which is lost, you would respond...
I don't know the direct quote. You have to give it to me.
I am a stranger traveling from the West. It is I whom you seek.
Oh my God. That's so good.
It is I whom you seek. How did you know that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I wish I could have completed the quote for you.
The Magi. We find out that Rick is a Magi.
This seems like a real afterthought in the planning of this film. Like, they tried to wedge this in, but it didn't really have a true payoff.
I think they just wanted Evelyn to be... They wanted her not only to have been a descendant of Egyptian royalty, to really, like, satisfy her, I think, to really, like, round her out as a character. But they were like, Rick should be, like, your...
protector in every life.
Like, ordained protector. Yeah, like, and I think they just wanted it to be, like, such a strong connection between those two that they were like, let's make him a Magi.
I mean, I like it. I just feel like it could have been fleshed out a little better. I do like that he was, like, a reluctant Magi.
Yeah, or, like, I also think maybe we could have found out he was a Magi at the end of the movie. It was almost, like, a little...
Well, I guess... We had to set up that Alex was not with them and he comes to find Rick at the beginning and being like, Dad, your tattoo, like, I found the art here. Which, by the way, if I was Rick, I'd be like, you did? Like, that's kind of weird. Be like, what? And then, by the way, you guys, we have never discussed this before, but Rick O'Connell is an orphan.
I can't believe that we've never noticed that.
How did we? It's one little tiny line. He says something like,
I got that slapped on me in an orphanage in Cairo. Is that what he says?
That's exactly what he says. And that's the whole line. But I'd never heard him say orphanage before.
Also, like, I didn't realize that he was, like, raised in Egypt.
I didn't either. I mean, when we meet him in The Mummy, he's just, like, fighting in a battle that we don't know what the battle is for or why.
But I guess, like, what's his name? Benny does have an accent. So, like, I guess he's in an army where...
Why doesn't Rick have an accent then?
Well, because he's American, but he was... Maybe his parents, like, immigrated.
Parents.
No, but maybe his biological parents immigrated to Egypt and died.
Would you get sent to an orphanage? I feel like Rick, if he was who he is, And his parents, well, he couldn't have immigrated because he is Magi. So he had to have been born in Cairo. So his
parents... Okay, so his mother fell in love with an Egyptian man.
Okay.
Well, no, he's a descendant of a Magi. So it's not like his dad had to be a Magi.
It's not like being Jewish, where like if you're only Jewish, if your mom is Jewish.
But maybe one of his parents fell in love with an Egyptian.
Okay.
Or someone from Egypt, and they lived there and died. I would love, like, are you kidding me? I would love, like, a Secret Garden movie, but in Egypt with Rick.
I mean, I would too, like a young Rick origin story.
Yeah, I would love that.
I guess I'm just trying to figure
a cartoon? Like a cartoon series that plays on Saturday mornings about, like, little orphan Rick.
What if it was, like, the beginning of the movie Grease, like that style of animation?
They don't do, like, cute cartoons on Saturday mornings the way, like, to movies they used to do.
No, I don't think they do at all. I'm sorry.
I had a really good idea where, and actually I'm not going to say it because there's a chance.
There's a chance you're going to make an animated film?
It was a children's book.
Okay.
About something. I'll tell you later.
Okay.
Great. So... Mila meets Imhotep for the first time, and she is not afraid.
I am not afraid. I love the way she says that.
I like say it to people, and I forget that like no one would understand like what that's from.
I am not afraid. It's so good.
Because she's like, I don't give a fuck about this mummy. I actually want him to fuck me, so.
I am not afraid. Again, my child's only 7, but like he does have like, you know, a dark soul, and... So I kept turning to him and being like, is this too much when, like, the mummy has, like, come alive and has half of its face missing and is, like, talking to an oxygen.
Ron has the strangest, like, boundaries that don't make any sense because she will let him watch, like, anything.
Yeah.
And then the second she lets him watch, like, a movie with, like, a reason to have, like, something a little off or, like, scary, she's like, this is too dark.
I was like, I don't think so. Paul was, like, so pissed off that I let him watch Mummy Returns. I was like, okay.
I can't get it.
Okay. I know, Zach. It doesn't make... Because guys do this really thing.
Confused.
I know. That's... My mom was like...
My mom, Donnie, was like, I'm watching YouTube videos about nukes.
Yeah, he did log on and he's like...
I was confused why the mummy is not...
We log on today and Zach was like, what are you watching? And Rex was like, I'm just watching a video about what would happen if you put a nuclear bomb in the Mariana's Trench.
He didn't say a nuclear bomb. He said, if we nuked the trench, if we nuked a volcano, if we nuked a hurricane. But then Paul's like, how dare he watch this film?
I know.
Mild violence.
It was more violence than the first mummy.
Listen,
for sure.
I'm not saying that I would let... We'll get, okay, it's not, we can't do this.
Don't take my parenting advice.
No, I think, Sloan, I think it's totally, I mean.
I thought it was fine. I literally.
I would be, okay, like, I think that I would be too. This movie is not scary. The first one, I remember being 12 and being scared.
It's spookier.
The first one's spookier. This one is not spooky. It's zonky. And there's like dirigibles and there's.
The first one's more of like a classic, like old fashioned kind of horror movie. There's not horror. Blood. No, there. This one has more like stabby stabbies and gunny gunnies. But again, like if you're Zach said this and I said this while we were watching it to Paul, I was like, he watches WWE. This is the exact same thing.
And he thinks it's real.
No, he doesn't. He knows it's not.
The movie's not real either.
That's what Rex said. He goes, Dad, I know this isn't real.
I need to talk to, I actually next, I'm going to have to talk to, I need to get into Paul's head about this. I'm just confused.
It's when Paul wants to do something and it's his idea. It's okay when it's my idea. Bad.
Okay.
That's what I need to know.
That's okay. So white, straight husband.
Correct. Bottom line is if it's good for Paul, that's the call.
It's good for all.
If it's good for Paul, it's good for all. Exactly right.
Okay. Your hair is really doing something right now.
Oh, wow.
It looks like you have a little wig on.
This is my little wiglet. I put it on just to podcast. I thought it would be, it's really giving like 80s. I don't even know. I don't know how to get out of this hair. I'm not cutting it.
Well, and it's looking better than it did a year ago.
Well, that is really sweet, and I appreciate you saying that.
No, I mean, Sloane's come a long way.
It's been a long time coming.
You stopped going to the chop shop.
I did.
Did you?
I swear, I promise you.
Okay. Now, Mila gets a machine gun. I think it's very sexy. She gets thrown a machine gun. She crouches down a little bit and she just starts firing. And I'm like, yeah, baby.
A woman with an semi-automatic weapon.
Oh.
No, it's good stuff.
Don't even ask. Just do it. Alex gets kidnapped off of a... So then we get like this hijinksy bus scene. And I will say, like, this scene has always really bored me.
It's like, get me out of a bus. Don't you know how I feel about action taking place in a contained space? It's just so boring to me too.
The bus scene is really boring to me. And like, it always has been, even in 2001.
I just don't know why, as a getaway car, you would grab a double decker bus.
Well, it's just zonky. It's like a funny thing that they did.
I get it, but it still doesn't make any sense.
They like defeat these ancient magical reincarnated mummies.
I feel like they're 15 feet tall at some point.
And then
points.
The second the bus stops, their kid gets kidnapped. It's like,
it's crazy.
It's very crazy. And like, they're nervous, but like, the next scene is just a happy trip to Cairo where like she's in her Eileen Fisher travel outfit.
She's like done her hair.
She's laughing about belly dancer girls.
I would be like an absolute wreck. I would be in the same outfit you saw me in the night before. Oh, like
they went home to pack and change and shower. Like
they do have a thing where they're like, I mean, they say it at a bunch of different times because later on she's like, I want him back. And I feel like they keep saying to each other, like, he's a really smart kid and they're like not going to kill him because like
they won't kill him because of the bracelet. So like, I guess there is that. But like at the same time, like, it was
sense of urgency.
No, she's just like, it's like the next morning and they're just like going to find a dirigible.
That's like a little crazy. His
friend Izzy, and she's like, belly dance a girl. And
we
it's
need
just
to
like,
talk, Izzy.
Yeah, she like wants to know like Rick's like slutty backstory.
Yeah,
and it's
she's
just
like, Rick did what? I would love to see, like, imagine like having a one night stand with Rick O'Connell and you're just like a belly dancer girl.
Like his like pre marriage days. Like
his pre marriage days, because he's like such a great guy, but like I feel like he would be such like a rogue who just like.
How do you think we could get like one of his sons to play like a young Rick O'Connell?
I don't know. I want to go back in time and I want to see Brendan be young Rick O'Connell.
I mean, obviously, it's just like not possible.
His roguish charm. I feel like he would be the most tender lover in a one night stand.
Or like really just like dick you down.
Yes, but I feel like after that, he's like putting his arm around you and like telling you about like an adventure and you're like snuggled on his bare chest and he's like actually cares about you. And then like you never hear from him again. Sorry, Zach's having a vision. Zach's at the ball of a dirigible.
I'm having a dirigible vision. Okay. Okay, so then it's dirigible time. We're up in the sky. We're zooming around. We're floating. Ooh. Alex is leaving clues to wherever they're going to be. We get a little dirigible vision, and she's having this vision. She realizes that she's an ancient princess.
As one does.
Beo, beo. And we get the Anaxunamun Nefertiti fight.
Nefertiti.
And we find out that she is a descendant of the pharaoh and Anaxunamun was to marry the pharaoh. This is where I do think this was a very good idea, I think.
When they do the flashback where she sees...
Get, like the backstory of the opening scene of the first movie.
I do like that. I thought that was a nice little slip in.
Such a good idea, and it's seamless. Like, they do insert the original clip of the first movie in, and it's, like, seamless. You just see the back of it, and it's...
I do like that part a lot. I like how they... I do think that was well done.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Magi!
The only note I have is if you're going to have, like, a secret affair with, like, the priest while you're about to become, like, the high queen, I would just make sure that your stepdaughter is not standing on her balcony watching you do this. That's like my only thing I would say.
I think if I were an Oxenumwood, I would have said, hey, my balcony is right across from Nefertiri's balcony. I feel
She's always out there.
She's like always out there just like having visions.
She's like out there like dreaming and just like standing over the balcony just like
staring. She has to be like a Pisces or a Scorpio or something. Like she has to be a water sign where she's just like, she's just on a balcony with her arms like spread and she's just like looking.
If I see a balcony, like you best believe I'm out there like spreading my arms out and like bowing and then like lifting my head up like very Marie Antoinette coded.
Of course you are, Sloane.
I like have to.
So anyway, then we get like the little backstory. We realize that Nefertiri is the one who called the Magi to go rescue her father. Really well done. I said, okay, then we get Imhotep's face tsunami.
Okay, so this is when the movie like
takes a little turn.
You know, I love movies that do practical effects. I think it always looks better. I think it's more interesting. This is, again, this is 2001. So we were like getting really crazy with the CGI.
They were like, CGI!
They were like a little too crazy. Like, I don't think we needed face tsunami. I just don't.
I think we could have like had a tsunami if they wanted. I just feel like it could have been. Or I think like maybe like Imhotep could have like summoned birds to like attack the dirigible. Like I just feel like it could have been like a little bit.
I guess because they wanted to call back like Sandface.
They wanted to call back Sandface, which I think was well done.
Sandface was well done. It was unexpected. We'd never seen anything like it. So to do give us Waterface, I guess.
I almost wish that they had like summoned maybe like a mummy bird or like flying. Yeah,
like a mummy pterodactyl.
Something.
I was listening. I'm so sorry. This is so random, but I was listening to this podcast the other day and it was a British guy and he was saying the word skeletal, but he kept pronouncing it skeletal. And I was like, that can't be.
Like aluminium. He was like trying to be like
skeletal.
Like privacy. He was trying to be something.
I was like, I don't think it's skeletal. Like over and over, it was a murder podcast about finding remains. So he said skeletal so many times. I was like, if this guy says skeletal one more time, I'm gonna like, I have to.
It just gives me like skedaddle vibes.
It was like, it was taking me out of it because it was so like, it was very zany. I was like, this is not, just say skeletal. Skeletal. Skeletal.
Skeletal. Skeletal. Yeah.
Skeletal.
I can't even rationalize it.
Skeletal. No, it was nuts. You don't need to say skeletal.
No.
Let's skeletal.
During the water face scene, mm-hmm. Imhotep is standing topless in a beautiful, like valley lagoon.
Yes.
Canyon lagoon. Looking great.
With the Loch Nah monster. About
how he waxed his body every other day, I believe, or every day for this film.
Yeah.
Now, Alex is watching him do this, and then he sees his parents, like, what he's led to believe is perish.
Yes.
Now, once again, we get a character who doesn't react properly to, like, someone dying.
He's, like, at this point, if he really thinks his mom and dad are dead, he should probably be, like, really crying because he's also going to die then.
He's like, Mom?
Dad?
It's so sad.
But then my favorite is when Imhotep walks by him and like pats him on the head.
Yeah, he's like, mm.
I love that part. I love Alex being with like the bad guys. I think it's like
I love when he accuses Loch Nah of being a pedophile.
And Loch Nah gets like so huffy. I'm not gonna look.
Oh my god. He's like, oh my god. He's like, you can't just throw around allegations like that.
That's like, guys, I'm not
looking. Alex, that's not even funny.
We've done this every time we've ever talked about Mummy 2, we do this exact same bit.
I honestly wasn't gonna bring it up because we talk about it every time, but it's
true. It's so, he gets so mad. He's like,
He's like, that was one time and she said she was 18.
He's like, please, I don't look at little boys' dicks, but like, what do you have? Like, what's going on?
He was like, I was 20 and he was 17. It wasn't that crazy.
No, that's like, that doesn't sound that crazy, but when you think about it, that is crazy.
It's just,
it's not right.
It's not, no, but like what happens if you're like in a high school relationship with someone like a sophomore and a senior?
In my personal experience, my dad says you're breaking up with that guy who's going to college.
Okay.
And then your mom flies you out there and then your dad finds out and you get grounded for about 4 months.
Okay.
That's just personal experience.
All right. It sounds very, it does sound personal.
Yeah. Was
after the crash we get Evie's wet humidity hair and
oh,
like
God,
eyeliner her eyeliner is even more prominent now.
It's very funny you said that because I said Rex is sitting next to me on the couch and I said I promise you if you ever get kidnapped I'm not going to put on this much eyeliner before I come to find you.
Her hair looks so beautiful in this film the whole time.
Well, she has frizzy yet beautifully moist. It like becomes frizzy and wet but like humid.
It's so good.
It's really good. That's when Horace dies.
The little birdie.
Horace died. Horace is dead.
So that was so sad.
It is really sad, but we get this thing where he's like, he's like, Horace is dead. I have to, Artith Bay is like, I have to go warn the army about his army about the army of Anubis to save the entire universe. And Rick's like, no, you said you'd help me find my son. And he's like, okay.
He's like, you know what? That's a good point. I guess that is more important.
I'll do that first, and then I will go save the universe. And I guess he does.
Yeah, he sure does.
Now they're walking through they're traipsing through the jungle to find the pyramid of, I forget the name of it, the pyramid of Amsher. I don't know, the golden pyramid.
I can't remember what Amsher is.
It's the oasis.
Okay, the oasis at Amsher.
They're traipsing through the oasis, and I've always said that I love this like little breezy tropical scene.
Midnight at the oasis.
The local natives, who I think used to be called pygmies.
My family calls them the jungle freaks, which Zach says is no longer PC.
I don't think it is, but
like they're literally the just. Freaks? The oasis, they're just like little skeletal pygmy monkey things.
They're like mummy
zombie mini guys.
Now Rick and like Artith Bay are like putting together a plan. They're like, we're about to battle. Here's what's going to happen. Evelyn and Jonathan become snipers. They're on sniper duty. Siblings on sniper duty.
I love that.
I like to think of this as like me and my sister like having to like go on sniper duty.
I would be so scared.
So they're up on a ledge. They're ready to pick people off the second they are going to hurt Ardeth or Rick.
Yep.
I love this whole scene. I love it. I love seeing them like pick these people off. Rick and Ardeth are like sexy.
So sexy. They are cutting through that jungle, tearing shit up.
They truly are. Rick grabs up little Alex and then Arda finds Lachnan. We get a battle royale.
This is a showdown at the Oasis. This is
a muscle man stud muffin.
It's so showdown. Hot. I just want to be there wiping the sweat off of those men.
So Arda finally kills Lachnan. We get that little fake gunshot moment where we think Ardeth gets shot, but then he looks up at Jonathan, and Jonathan has saved his life.
Jonathan is one of my favorite parts of this movie is any scene with Jonathan and Alex together. I love Jonathan's. He's one of my favorite comic relief characters. I mean, is it one note? Over. Yes, but so, I love it. I love the note.
Steven Sommers says that he wanted this film to show that all of the characters have grown, evolved, and learned. And he said, except Jonathan, he wanted to have learned literally nothing.
I think that's so perfect. I love that.
It's like a literal note from the director saying like he wanted Jonathan to have evolved not at all.
Because you know what? I'm sure everybody knows someone in their life that just does not evolve.
No.
I'm staring at one of them. It's me. But like that is, there's always someone in your life that is just like, they're not a bad person. They're just,
they're having a hard time,
but they're just out for themselves. And it's not in like even a hurtful, selfish way. They're just like, they just don't have, they probably have ADHD. They're neuroatypical, mm-hmm. and they just don't know how to put themselves in anybody else's shoes. That's Jonathan. ADHD king.
You're right. So they finally get through this battle. They run to the pyramid. Evelyn gets stabbed.
This scene, I did fast forward because I didn't want Rex to see her get stabbed for some reason. I thought it was too sad. So I fast forwarded. But I know
it would be better if she got nuked.
It would have been better if she got nuked. But when so I unpaused it right as Anoxuna Moon is like doing her little wave at Alex, which is what a bitch.
The smirking wave, I will never get over.
I'll never forgive her for that. She's so mean.
And he gets like gaslit and does like a little hand up. He's like, hi.
No, it's too sad.
He's like, hi, I think you might have just killed my mom. And she's like,
bye. Bye. Sorry to stab your mom. Oh my God, I'm so random.
Rick crying and her being like, take care of Alex. I have goosebumps all over my body.
No, I can't handle that. Her little sandy butt in those saggy little pants.
The first time I saw this, I was like truly beside myself. I was like, this cannot be happening.
No, they would not. They would never. They would never kill her off. Come on. You got scared the first time?
Yeah. I mean, we were 14, 13.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. They can't kill off such a bodacious babe.
So then we get into the pyramid. We awaken the Scorpion King. It's a travesty of CGI.
It is.
I have to say as well. So there's a couple things. Like, I also hate, I find this scene to be really boring with the fighting with the Scorpion King. But I do think like the Imhotep stuff with the Scorpion King is very funny.
When he's like, I'm your servant. But he becomes like
a little bitch. And like, he's like this whole like franchise. He's this like larger than life, unstoppable villain. And then when he's mortal, he's like,
I'm
actually like a little bitch. And
there's something about him becoming mortal that so he becomes mortal and I would be so upset. Like, he starts to like try to use his powers and it's like the stuff is like shaking a little.
Yeah.
That must feel so frustrating.
Oh.
I would like go so crazy. I don't know what the human equivalent would be.
I'm trying to think.
I tried to peel a piece of moleskin yesterday, you know, like the Band-Aid that you put on blisters. And you know that thing that happens sometimes with a sticker where like just like another part of like the backing peeled off without the actual, and I was just like, oh. And so like I was
like, when you peel off, like it's like when you're taking off the top of like a chicken breast package and just the top, it's like it almost takes the label part of the plastic off, but then there's still like clear cellophane on it or something.
Are you talking about? Oh, I know what you're talking about. It's like that really weird texture plastic. Like, and you're just like, what am I supposed to do? And
you're like, now I have to get a knife or something.
And they're like, now the knife has like salmonella on it. It's like, I have to put it in the sink. And it's like,
I get really jealous of people who like aren't terrified of like raw chicken germs.
I'm basically petrified.
People like just go about cooking like normal with it. And I'm really jealous of that because like, I'm not a food like germ crazy person, but when it comes to like raw chicken, I'm like, I'm going to die if I don't immediately wash this knife.
Raw chicken and raw pork and their juices, I'm just like, everything's contaminated, burn it down.
And then with steak, I'm like
okay, I'll like suck the, I'll drink the blood out of the package. I'm like, whatever, it's fine. Splash it in my eyes, like it doesn't matter.
I'll just heat this up with a match and it'll be fine.
But like the juice that comes out of a package of chicken breasts is,
it makes you think the chicken's bad.
It's just like, I smell it.
Oh my God.
And I'll be like, is this right? I'm like, this can't be right.
That's why like I really appreciate like certain chicken brands or
no juice.
And it doesn't even have that little like moisture collector.
Oh God, not the moisture. I'm now realizing what the moisture collector is for. And I'm now I'm actually thanking them. Cause when I flip that into the pan, I'm like, God damn it. But now I'm like, wait a second, that's stopping me from the juice package.
I know, and it's true, but I do appreciate when you can rinse out the plastic without the moisture packet. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
some brands just have a vacuum sealed chicken breast inside of them.
Oh, and you are unleashing a tsunami face of chicken juice.
You are, but then you can put the chicken in the pan and then you can rinse out that package, dump it down the drain, and just put that like a clean little plastic thing in the recycling, and you're not having any smelly chickens. Okay, nobody.
No, Zach.
We've just completed 30 minutes of chicken talk. Whoever does this podcast like has to shorten that. That was
no, but Zach, everybody makes chicken. Everybody can relate to chicken juice.
You guys, that was truly crazy. I think we forgot we were recording for a second. That was nuts.
One time I ambient tweeted that I was vaping the raw juice out of a package of chicken. And then like the next morning I woke up and I was like, what was I talking about?
Have we talked about how I can't take Ambien? Yeah, we have.
Yeah. Because
I get violent. I black out and get violent in the night. I've ripped a shirt off in the middle of the night with no recollection. I have a picture of it. I have like, it gets like, I wake up bloody a little bit. Like there'll be like scratches on my body.
That's so funny.
I really don't accept
it. I wonder what you're doing.
I don't know what I'm doing. I just woke up one time with a t-shirt ripped in half.
That's so funny. Ambien is so crazy. I will order like one time I was on Ambien and I went on Alamo Candy Company and I received like maybe $200 worth of like spicy pickleball candy that was truly inedible. Like inedible. And I was like, when did I order this? And like I like checked my credit card receipt. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. It's like, okay, I guess. Whatever Sloane wants, Sloane gets. Back to this movie.
Back to the film. So we're almost done here. We get another iconic, legendary fight between Evelyn and Anoxuna Moon, where they're now both in their original forms.
And Evelyn was presumed dead. She's brought back to life. And right when Anoxuna Moon is about to do a little stabby, stabby, knifey, knifey, Evelyn's hand grabs onto her. And she's like, pick on someone your own size.
Nefertiti.
Nefertiti. And then they just, I see.
Oh, because Nefertiti, I mean, Anoxuna Moon is like, okay, good. We're both here. We're both ready to fight. We both remember the old ways. Mm-hmm. And then that's when like they start fighting. And then Anoxuna Moon says, I see you remember the old ways. And then Evelyn headbutts her and says, that's a little something new.
Evelyn.
And then slices her cheek, and Anoxuna Moon can't handle that heat.
So Anoxuna Moon bolts.
Nay. And then runs away.
I am afraid.
I am afraid of your knife. Okay, that wasn't.
That wasn't it, but
I don't know.
I am not so afraid.
She runs. Now, we haven't really mentioned this. We've mentioned it a million times otherwise, but not today, about how this movie is just truly a love story about a man trying to win back the love of his life.
Yeah.
And one of the saddest things in a film is when Anoxuna Moon, Imhotep sees Evelyn run through a collapsing building to save the love of her life, her Magi. And Imhotep looks at Anoxuna Moon like, okay, now it's your turn to come help me now. Mm-hmm. And she's like, Nye.
She's like, I don't
actually so. Nye.
Actually, Nye right now. Like, I'm gonna go see if I can find a rope and I'll be like right back. Just like, hold on. I know there's like some souls like grabbing at your feet right now, but just like hold on tight. I promise I'll be right back.
Just a minute.
She's like, just a minute. I actually have to pee. I've been holding it in during that fight scene, and I'm gonna be right back. So just like 1 minute and I'll see you. And he's so just like, okay, I guess I'll die.
He lets himself die because he just can't handle.
It's so sad.
That is really sad. So
it really never gets any easier to watch that scene. It's really heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking, poor little baby. So,
and like Rick and Evelyn just like watch him, and it's like
they're sad. Like they're sad for it.
They've been at war with him for like so long now, and they're like, I guess that's over. Sad. They're like, oof, that's really rough.
So I posted the question thing a little late, but we have some responses.
Okay.
Julie MJ 1986 says this is the only movie that gets a pass with a blimp in it. And she's right.
She is correct. So. She's correct. This is our second blimp movie of the week.
Wow. I know. Not of the week.
Of the two weeks.
A couple weeks ago, but yeah.
Yeah.
And then CC Kelso says the chemistry between Rick and Evelyn will never be matched. Swoon. I mean.
Never. You can't. You just. There's a kiss right in the beginning when Rick says to Evelyn, he's more and more like you every day. And she's like, what more charming and gorgeous. And then they just have this little pop kiss, like a kiss you would just like give your husband or someone you've been with for a long. It's not like a long passionate kiss. It's just a sweet little.
And like, she pulled her scarf off or like his scarf or something.
There's something that happens. It's just like they just seem like they have such a lived in loving relationship.
Those
you can't.
Are not my knickers.
Those are not my knickers.
No, those knickers are not mine.
Jonathan.
All right. Runky Marie has a little hot take. Oh. They say, I like this one better than the first one, honestly.
Wow.
I can see if you want more fun, if you want like yeah. a little more like it's action. Okay, look at your phone for a second kind of fun.
Yeah.
I get why you would say that.
This is like something you don't need to pay full attention to and you're still like in it.
This is a Sunday afternoon nappy kind of thing.
For sure, 100%.
Halro Malro says most unintentional hot cast ever, even over casted for hotness movies. Oh, damn yeah. fair, period.
There's nothing could be more true. There's nothing.
You're right. Like even movies that like cast hot on purpose.
They can't match this.
Nope.
The casting of this film is so phenomenal.
The whole movie, I was like, I need to go back and screen record that. I need to go back and screen record that. It's like.
It's just thing after thing after thing. The costuming is so beautiful. Every part of it is just, it's just well done. Just well done.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Since we're doing a mummy film, we do have to get a little sentimental. And thank you for always being there for us and loving the mummy with us. It feels right doing a mummy movie.
I'm always happy when we do a mummy movie, and I can't believe it's been so long since the mummy came out. It's like, I'm just a young girl, so it's just surprising.
It's
you know what I mean?
It's also been 3 years of us podcasting.
Any day now. We're going to break through any day. It'll happen. I think we originally said, like, if we're not successful in 3 years, we're going to stop, but I'm going to keep going.
I consider us successful.
I do, too. Okay. And you guys are the reason.
Honestly,
we're
no, we really love you guys. And honestly, like it was like one of the casts of the Gilded Age birthday today. Like the Mummy and the Gilded Age is what keeps us going.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of their birthdays today. I posted something and they shared it, and it just
reminded me of
the guy who plays John Adams.
I love that.
We're very active. He's very active with our page.
That's so sweet.
And. We just like love you guys, like all of you. I feel like half of our fans are like mummy fans and the other half is like Gilded Age fans. And there's probably some little like overlap, but you guys are the best.
You're both our children and we don't pick favorites.
It's
we
like
love
having
you
two, yeah, it's like having two children. It's like one of you like one thing. I mean, it's just like so fun.
It is so fun. We always feel like we have something to talk about. And if you're here for like action movies, you have Zach. If you're here for, I don't know. If you're here for like
weird
bad parenting
punk rom-coms, you're here for Sloan.
Yeah, it's like there's something for everybody here, and that's why we're just really happy with this little community that we've created. You all really do mean a lot to us, and we are there for you if you ever need us. Well, I'm not, because I don't answer DMs, but
yeah, I have a hard time answering a DM, but I will do it eventually.
We'll get to you eventually, and usually if you wait long enough you even get a voice note, so just not hold on tight. Me. Not from Zach, but from me. Because I'm usually like, you know, I've got like a dog wrapped around my leg and I'm holding like a rotisserie
She's
chicken.
On 1 foot eating an apple, put it with like a kid's lunchbox in her hand.
Literally. I saw someone on a unicycle yesterday.
There's a man in my neighborhood or city, in my city, who rolls around on a electronic unicycle delivering for like some, I don't know, it's like some sort of DoorDash. I don't know what it is, but he is, I see him everywhere.
On that speedy little one-wheeler.
Speedy one-wheeler with like, helmet, headphones, like some like Oakley sunglasses. Like he's zooming with like a backpack and it's got like someone's DoorDash in it or something. I don't know what, like Postmates. He's doing something, but he is everywhere in the city.
Oh my God. I love that for him.
Me too. And every time we see him, I'm like, there he is. Like, I'll see him with like kids that I'm with and I'll be like, there he is. And they're
there
like,
there he is. It's just really surprising. I mean, I see one wheel people and I'm just like, okay, there's one guy in my neighborhood who's on a one wheeler in a suit on his way to work. And if I owned that place where he works, I'd be like, you're fired. You can't do this.
You're too zany.
Like we don't hire like zany acrobats. This isn't Cirque du Soleil. This is not the Plaza superhero. Hotel. This is Morocco. Like
it truly is, though.
Like, get out of here. But
Well, you're on your unicycle. I'm in Brooklyn.
I like saw an adult male on like an actual clown unicycle yesterday, just riding down the street on a unicycle. I was like, where this you is live,
Sloan. That's
no, I know that's true.
Sloan lives in like Gotham City, so it makes sense.
I do. And we have this thing called the Beltline, which connects the entire city. And it's like a walkable pathway through the whole city. It's like miles and miles and miles long. And when I tell you yesterday, it was like Richard's scary busy town. It was crazy on that thing. Anyway, well, where can people find us and you and them and everybody? You can
find us at mummydearestpodcast.com. You can also find us on mummydearestpodcast.com, we're going to have some really good mummy merch.
I was about to say, we're going to be releasing. You guys have been asking and it's coming.
It's either out when you're listening to this or it's coming very soon. So either look or keep your eyes peeled because it's
any day now.
Hot.
Any day.
You can find us at Mummy Dearest Podcast on Instagram and Zach Mellon on Instagram.
You can find me at I Am Sloan Steele and sometimes at Oh My Erotica, but just come to Sloan Steele. I'm over there.
Yeah. Okay. Love you guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Mummy Dearest podcast. See you next time. And remember, don't read from the Book of the Dead.
Get out of my house.
Well, Mom, maybe not the best idea.
Alex, get back there.